gerrymandering does undermine our democratic norms and creates a government of the politician, by the politician, and for the politician, instead of as it should be, and as Honest Abe said 47 years ago, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Hello, beautiful humans. I'm Tymie Castle.
And I'm Benjamin Mead.
And you're listening to Just a Minute. Just a Minute is an educational podcast where we break down justice topics in 30 minutes or less. Today's topic is gerrymandering.
Yeah.
Hello, and thanks for joining us. Hello, Ben.
Well, hey there. What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
So,
oh, that's a real
that's an old one.
Callback.
Yeah.
Super Bowl 1996 or something like that.
Something like that. I'm sure I saw it recently on some kind of one of those, you know, shows about the year 1996 or something. Yeah. That's why it's in my head.
Gotcha. Well, anyway, thanks for tuning in, everybody. So we're going to talk about gerrymandering today. And I picked this topic for two reasons. One, obviously, we're coming up on election season. I also picked this topic because I didn't know a lot about gerrymandering and I wanted to learn about it myself. I had a vague sense of what it was, but it was still kind of confusing to me. So here's this episode so I could get a more concrete idea of what gerrymandering is. Tommy, what did you know about gerrymandering?
Well, I did know it was redrawing districts to favor a particular party. And I just wanted to say that we do have political scientists in our Department of Justice Studies, along with criminologists, and they'll be happy that we're covering maybe this topic.
And maybe that makes me a little bit more nervous, too.
To mess something up.
Maybe I'm wrong, and then the political scientist can correct me. But yeah,
we'll hear from Tara.
But she'll be nice. She's nice and gentle about it. But anyway, in a nutshell, gerrymandering is when election districts are drawn in such a way to favor one group of voters and basically disenfranchise another group of voters.
Right.
Clear?
Yes.
Got it?
We're done.
Okay, great. Mission accomplished. That means it's our minute to spin it.
I'm ready. This was a very short episode.
JK, we'll give a little bit more.
Okay.
A little bit more detail than that. But to back up and set the stage a little bit more, the U.S., the United States, is a representative democracy in principle, which means that we elect representatives to represent us in the legislatures, state and federal. And the idea is that our representatives are supposed to reflect our values and needs and legislate based on that. So doesn't that sound lovely? Isn't that great that that's how our political system works?
It's so wonderful. We live in this great electoral system. Actually, I'll save, you know, what I'm going to say about this until until my spin. So
I thought you might have something a little cynical to say about
it's a little
not
comparative note that we'll talk about in my spin. So
But in terms of thinking about our representation, states are divided into election districts, and where you live determines your district, and your district is appointed a representative to Congress, to the House of Representatives, or to state legislatures, and then you go vote for who that representative is.
Right, and our lovely Constitution in Article 1 says that elections for the House of Representatives occur every 2 years and that these reps are apportioned to states based on their relative populations. And the Supreme Court has interpreted that to mean that each rep should represent, it's two reps in that sentence there, roughly equal populations or the same number of people, basically.
Yeah, you're right. I feel like we've said representative like a bajillion times already. And there's not much word origin to represent. Obviously Latin, you know, present means to show or display. But the interesting part of represent or representative is the re. So usually we think of the re prefix as like to repeat or to go back. But re can also mean like an intensifier. Oh, another thing I mentioned, like re is repeat. Particularly relevant to our podcast, we've mentioned this term a lot of times, recidivism.
Right.
So they're the
don't define it. They're going to have to go back and listen.
Right. But the re in recidivism does mean repeat your recidivism. But re can also be an intensifying prefix, and it can intensify a word like resplendent.
So I love that word.
Yeah, I know.
Resplendent.
Splendent means bright, and re means like intensely or thoroughly bright. Reticent is another example.
Good word.
Repertoire is another example of the re. So like thoroughly hesitant, or like, you know, thoroughly, you know, strong portfolio. So re-present doesn't mean present again, but it means to like thoroughly or intensely represent. Isn't that cool?
Very cool. Those are great words too. I'm going to try to use those in a sentence this week.
Oh yeah. Resplendent. Repertoire.
That's resplendent.
Reticent.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Love those.
So anyway, back to political representatives.
If we must.
Yeah, well, we must. Every 10 years, based on the census, which reflects, you know, changes in population every 10 years, redistricting occurs. So state legislatures typically redraw those districts based on population change.
And for federal elections for the House of Representatives, the 435 representative seats are reapportioned to districts based on population so that the districts have approximately equal population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so gerrymandering then occurs when those districts are drawn in such a way to disproportionately favor one group of people. Right. So it's intentionally drawing voting districts in a way that's designed to impact elections, or to give more representatives to like certain groups or certain political parties. Did you know why gerrymandering was called gerrymandering?
I absolutely did not. Mm-hmm. And I am sad to say that before this episode, I never had any desire to learn why it was called that. But now I do. Mm-hmm. So tell me.
Yeah, it's actually the coolest part of gerrymandering, I think. Obviously, gerrymandering is not cool, but this is cool. Gerrymandering got its name from Massachusetts Governor Elbridge. Gerry?
That's a cool name. Elbridge. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never heard that name before.
Sounds like a Looney Tune character or something. Like Elmer Fudd, Elmer Gerry or something.
But definitely an early 19th century name, it seems like.
1812, he signed legislature redistricting that was highly partisan, and it created some oddly shaped districts. So in looking at one of these districts, a lot of people said, like, this district is so weirdly shaped that it looks like a salamander. And so they kind of mashed together Gerry and salamander and called this particular district a gerrymander.
Yes.
And the name just stuck. So
that's
gerrymandering,
very cool.
Name of the governor, Gerry, combined with salamander. And that's how we get the name gerrymandering.
Love it. Mm.
But primarily gerrymandering occurs to create districts that advantage voters based on primarily either race or political parties.
Right.
So racial gerrymandering, which the purpose is to prevent people of color from being able to elect representatives to represent them, is illegal.
Yeah.
Obviously in the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and also unconstitutional. But on the other hand, we have partisan gerrymandering. And of course, the purpose of partisan gerrymandering is to prevent the opposite political party from being able to elect representatives.
Right. And the Supreme Court just this year in the case Alexander versus the South Carolina NAACP said it's constitutional to gerrymander partisanly, and that can't be challenged in court. So critics of this decision argue that it makes racial gerrymandering justifiable. Oh my gosh, those are really hard words to say together.
Yeah. Good job, though.
Yeah, because the strong relationship between race and political party makes the distinction virtually meaningless.
Yeah, so you can, you know, in theory, gerrymander racially and just say, well, we did it partisanly, not racially, and no problem there. Basically, legislatures can draw maps any way they want to as long as they have roughly equal population and, quote unquote, aren't drawn based on race.
How do legislatures gerrymander?
Well, there are two common gerrymandering strategies, cracking and packing. or as they say in South Kakalaki, crackalacking and packalacking. So crack is whack.
It is.
Yeah. But cracking is when a group of voters is cracked or spread across multiple districts to essentially dilute their voting power in the state overall, which then makes it difficult for this group of voters to represent anyone to elect to reflect their voice.
Right.
So let's say you have like a large urban black community or neighborhood. If you're going to crack that neighborhood, you might draw districts kind of like right in the middle. So split that big neighborhood, that big block of voters up into four different areas and kind of like tag each you know, corner of that neighborhood into a larger suburban district. So you've got a bunch of other voters of different persuasions kind of outnumbering them. So you take a big group and you split them up into other other districts where other groups of voters would outnumber them. So then you wouldn't get any representatives out of that particular group.
Got it.
And Pennsylvania is an example of a state that has done this. So both of their major cities, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, are drawn up and split up into surrounding suburban areas. So that's cracking. Packing, on the other hand, is kind of the opposite, where you cram together a group of voters into a small number of districts, or you concentrate a group of voters into as few districts as possible. So here you can get a representative, but they're still vastly outnumbered by representatives from other districts. So instead of splitting a neighborhood up, you just kind of, assign groups into one,
right.
Kind of mash them together into one big district. So you might get one representative compared to the four or five surrounding suburban districts.
Gotcha.
And Louisiana is an example of gerrymandering by packing. So Louisiana legislature has drawn their map in such a way that New Orleans and Baton Rouge are both in the same voting district.
Gotcha.
So if you look at certain states' electoral districts, you can kind of see how wacky their districts are. Going back to the name, just kind of like torturously drawn to look like a salamander. North Carolina is an example of this. We'll talk about North Carolina a lot. It has like these huge, big blocks of like red districts, and then you have these kind of handful little places of like skinny, narrowy, zigzaggy, blue districts. I mean, when you just kind of first look at it, it looks like it's just a geography map. And these districts are like lakes or rivers because they're like narrow and skinny and they wind all over the place. And you've got like one big, so it actually just looks like a, kind of lakes or something. But anyway, ultimately, gerrymandering creates legislatures that don't reflect the proportional values of voters and skews legislatures in favor of one political party or racial group. So, in effect, the representative body doesn't really represent all voters, but, voters that the legislature has drawn the map to favor. So mathematically, it's possible to draw election districts where, 30% of the population vote for one party, but win basically half of the seats, win two of four districts.
Right.
So you can kind of like, stack the odds, stack the results in your favor. Gerrymandering basically makes it harder for, one political party to win elections, even if there are, equal or more voters who would vote that way. And, I mentioned North Carolina before, and this has happened in North Carolina over the last decade. North Carolina has traditionally been a swing state. It's quite purple. There's, roughly equal populations of red and blue in North Carolina, but Republicans have redrawn congressional districts over the last two redistricting cycles to basically create Republican super majorities in Congress and in the House of Representatives. So like I said, North Carolina is a swing state, pretty equal in terms of political parties, but basically population is 50-50 Democrat and Republican, but North Carolina has 11 Republican representatives and 3 Democratic representatives. So very heavily gerrymandered.
Yeah.
State of North Carolina.
Yeah. Cracking and packing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. In statistical tools, computer programs, digital data have just made this easier to gerrymander.
Right. Mm-hmm. So outside of North Carolina, has it become less of a problem over time, gerrymandering?
Well, you would think. This kind of sounds like old corrupt politics of the past, but in fact, as I hinted above, gerrymandering has increased and gotten worse. Like I said, the tools that we have now make it easier to do and more precise to do. But also in 2010, there was a big red wave that was like the Obama midterm elections.
Right.
Republicans netted control of 12 state legislatures in elections, and they engaged in a concerted effort after that to gerrymander districts, even in swing states, that they just made a concerted effort to gerrymander. And political scientists call this the great gerrymander. So obviously it took a few years to get through. The great gerrymander of 2012.
Gotcha.
And a lot of legal challenges arose. Ultimately, as you told us before, it resulted this year in the Supreme Court basically saying partisan gerrymandering is fine. There's no problems in the courts.
Gotcha. Won't so get what involved. Are, what are the other most gerrymandered states? Mm-hmm.
Well, as you can imagine, North Carolina takes the top spot. Sure. We've already talked about this a lot and what happened in North Carolina. So the gerrymander top 10 out of the top 10, Maryland is number two, basically, yes. and the only state on the list of the top 10 that's gerrymandered in favor of the Democratic vote.
Gotcha.
So, you know, like I said, Republicans after 2010 made a decided effort to gerrymander states in their favor. North Carolina heavily gerrymandered, Maryland heavily gerrymandered. The rest of the top 10 gerrymandered states include Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Utah, Texas, Arkansas, and Ohio.
Yeah, outside of Utah, well, I guess mm-hmm. PA is kind of mid-Atlantic, but those are all southern and or, you know, mm-hmm. like southeast. Mm-hmm. Or maybe Rust Belt mm-hmm. states. So they have that in common.
Yeah.
So other than the fact that gerrymandering creates legislatures that aren't representative of the population, what are some other problems with it?
Yeah, our political system has 99 problems, and gerrymandering is a big one. So, you know, the problem is created by partisan legislatures controlled by one political party, drawing the election maps, drawing right. The districts. And as we mentioned above, the problem is that it creates non-representative, non-proportional representation. So districts are drawn in such a way that the vote or the results, the representatives don't represent the will and the voice of the people.
Right.
You know, so for example, I've kind of tossed out numbers illustrating this, but yeah. but you know, if 30% of the population of a state are Republican voters, they should have roughly 30% of the representatives in the legislature, not more than 30%, like what happened in North Carolina, and not less. So they should not right. have their minority voice dampened even
yeah,
further.
That would be proportionate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Representative and proportionate. Another problem is disenfranchisement. So disenfranchisement is depriving people of the rights or privileges of citizenship.
Yes.
And franchise is Old French, meaning to set or make free. And of course, dis is to like take away.
Yeah.
So if you think about like franchise, this is another interesting word fact. We think about like, oh, you know, that franchise or that business. Franchise means free. So basically when a business franchises, it's operated by someone who's not kind of a part of the corporation, but they're free to use symbols, merchandise, products, etc. for
very cool.
a price.
Interesting
yeah.
mm-hmm. fact.
But politically, disenfranchisement in this sense means that we're taking away people's rights, and particularly the privilege of voting. So political equality is a democratic norm, and that means that all citizens' votes or voices are weighed equally or should be weighed equally.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And gerrymandering obviously violates this and creates maps that are stacked in favor of some political voices over other. Gerrymandered elections mean election results reflect the will of the politicians, essentially, not the will of the voters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you have disenchantment and political disengagement. So you
right.
hear people say, like, my vote doesn't matter anyway,
yes.
so why should I vote?
Yes.
And the U.S. overall is ranked, you know, low in terms of voting participation.
Right.
So around half of those who are eligible to vote in the U.S. do actually vote, compared to an average of about 75% in comparable countries.
And yeah, I mean, part of that mm-hmm. is, like, it's not a holiday or anything. People are working, too.
Yeah, that's true. You got to get to vote around
yes.
your
yes.
work
schedule.
That's
yeah.
that's for sure. But also, like, disenchantment over gerrymandering could be a
right.
part of why people don't feel like their vote matters, don't feel like their vote counts, and why they don't
sure.
bother yeah. to go vote. And then, of course, as we have, you know, kind of hinted above, gerrymandering may be practically, if not intentionally, racist.
Right.
And, of course, gerrymandering is just one piece of a very large puzzle of historically
yes.
trying to disenfranchise black voters. And practically, there's little difference between partisan and racial gerrymandering, as
yeah.
you mentioned
just
earlier.
Just one of the many tools.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, this is an interesting fact, declares that, you know, voting and having equal access to public service is a human right. So some political scholars have argued that gerrymandering to disenfranchise people is a human rights violation.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. So what, if anything, can we do about it?
Well, nothing. I mean, the,
yeah.
the Supreme Court
yes.
said so. It's fine.
Supreme Court decided.
Yeah, we're fine. It's all good. No problem here.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But obviously the problem is created when politicians draw district map. So the solution would be to take away redistricting power from politicians, from legislatures. And, you know, there have been a host of challenges to gerrymandering, but the Supreme Court has favored, particularly recently, the side of gerrymandering and said basically that partisan gerrymandering is non-justiciable, which is a, you know, big fancy word to mean like not hearable by the court. So courts can't do anything about it. But when we look at like the latest map, redistricting maps that were drawn, 41% of those maps were drawn by Republican-controlled legislatures and 11% were drawn by Democrat-controlled legislatures. So over half of our maps that we have now were drawn by partisan legislatures, and that's where gerrymandering becomes a problem. So an alternative to that would be to have, instead of politicians draw maps, have nonpartisan independent election commissions draw maps. And of our, you know, most recent maps after the 2020 census, 19% of state redistricting maps were drawn by independent commissions. In California, for example, used to be heavily gerrymandered in favor of Democrats, but now draws their maps with an independent election commission, does redistricting. And political scientists now rate California as pretty evenly district.
That's reform.
Another option is to have courts draw maps. So most recently, 21% of states had court-drawn redistricting maps. And of course, this is not the original plan where it's like, okay, courts do this, but courts had to step in because like the governor and the legislature couldn't agree, or there was some other legal challenge or impasse. And this is not like, you know, a bunch of judges in their robes getting together and like drawing these maps. But typically when we say court-drawn maps, that means
they're given some colored pencils and some paper, like draw this map.
I mean, we talked to, you know, judges. That would be fun. But usually judges will then appoint like subject matter experts like academics or political scientists or some commission to draw rather than the judges with
their colored pencils and paper. Imagine that, relying on experts.
How odd. How strange.
And
then finally, a lot of political scientists have recommended using computer programs to randomly draw districts and have those approved or confirmed by independent commissions. But that's kind of like, we should do this. And, you know, I'm sure maybe some of these independent election commissions maybe use some computer program, but who knows? Ultimately, it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of advocacy to undo the gerrymandering problem, because by nature, by definition, it entrenches political power, and the Supreme Court is
protecting
it.
Thanks a lot, Supreme Court.
One of the most important things is obviously educating people on what gerrymandering is and how hurtful it is to our democracy. As I said, the main reason I picked this is because I would hear people say like gerrymandering, and I think like, oh, that sounds complicated. I don't know what that is. I don't care what that is. So this was maybe, you know, like largely to educate myself on gerrymandering.
That's very nice. Yeah. Very interesting.
Got anything else?
I do not.
All right. Well, then that means it is our minute to spin it, where we both give our takeaway from the show today. So, Tommy, what's your spin in just a minute?
So many things about the American political system are inferior to parliamentary systems, and I can't get into all of them. But we'll use gerrymandering as a case in point. In the UK, for example, they do use independent commissions. That's standard. And these independent commissions decide parliamentary constituencies, and it can be subject to pressure, but it's very well regulated. So the difference also is that an MP might represent like 70,000 people, not 700,000 people. And because the UK has limits on, you know, how much money you can spend on advertising, it requires MPs to campaign more in person. And it's just impossible to do if you don't live in that jurisdiction. So that's just one issue, right? But our FPTP, so if you don't know what FPTP is, it's our system, is called first past the post. So we have a first past the post. Another way to think about it is winner take all. So our system is vulnerable to problems like this because of it. So it can create districts distorting representation. It results in a high number of wasted votes and the chance of a majority reversal, which would be like the party winning the most votes, getting fewer seats than the second largest party and losing the election. So throughout the 20th century, many countries who had our system, the first past the post, winner take all, have abandoned it in favor of other electoral systems, parliamentary and mixed. And maybe we should too.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I mean,
the best electoral reform. I'm pretty, you know, like cynical about any electoral reform, but you know, Yeah. There are better options. Mm-hmm. So, Ben, what's your spin?
Well, to take a break from this, you know, political electoral reform.
Yes, let's do
and,
that.
And going back to the origin of the term gerrymandering, I thought yes. I would provide some salamander fun facts.
I love salamanders. Please do.
Yeah. First of all, salamanders are not lizards.
Yes, I knew that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Lizards are reptiles. Salamanders are amphibians, which amphibians need water to breathe and live. Some have gills. Some breathe air through their skin. A lot of salamanders don't have lungs or gills, but they just breathe through their skin as like their
very
breathing
cool.
organ. Yeah.
Very cool.
So they have to keep their skin moist.
Yes.
Moist. yeah, so a salamander is an amphibian.
Yes.
But any amphibian with a tail is a salamander. So salamander is not like a specific species, but like a bigger group. So
gotcha.
Like newts are salamanders, but not all salamanders are newts.
Oh, very cute. Mm-hmm.
Another cool one is salamanders can regenerate limbs, including tails, toes, and legs.
Yeah.
I kind of got this confused with lizards and thought that that was lizards.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
lizards, only some lizards can like shed their tail and regrow it, but that's it. But salamanders are the ones can like regrow a whole arm or leg or toe.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Salamanders can't hear or make noise.
Oh.
They are brightly colored.
Yes.
And some secrete a poison or a bad tasting chemical to ward off predators.
It's like, you don't want me. I'm not tasty.
Yeah. Yeah. And then finally, in pop culture, salamanders have been associated with fire.
Really?
Or thought to be immune to fire.
Okay.
So when I first read this, I thought like, you know, the salamanders in Appalachia are like
in the creeks.
Orange.
Yeah, right.
So it's like, okay, orange or fire. But actually, I read that that kind of originated like people would throw logs on the fire and salamanders would come like crawling out of the like the wet, damp logs.
Oh, poor guys.
So because of that, they became associated with fire and were thought to be immune to
interesting
fire. Yeah, so salamanders are super cool,
super cute
and cute. Yeah. Gerrymandering, not so much. Yeah. But it's important for us to understand what gerrymandering is. Like I said, I would hear people say it, talking about it, like, that sounds too big. Big deal. I'm not going to worry about it. But gerrymandering does undermine our democratic norms and creates a government of the politician, by the politician, and for the politician instead of as it should be. And as Honest Abe said 47 years ago, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people.
We are a community-driven podcast sponsored by the Gandhi Center and produced by JMU Libraries. If you've listened this far, reach out to us on our new Instagram account. I guess it won't be new by the time you hear this episode. But @just_a_minute_pot.
Yeah.
And we'll send you a t-shirt. Check out our website linked in show notes to see how you can support our educational programming.